Mike DiMadani, Richard Phelps, Hydra.
Hi, my name is Mike Madani. I'm a member of the NACWA, which is the Massachusetts Taxi Workers Alliance. And taxi workers since 1984, they don't have any union, so we try to organize them. They fight for their rights and respect from the society. In one important point is that we don't know what's going on in the society. We don't know who's doing what. If you ask a lot of people around you, they don't know how many taxi workers they have, what they do, what's their life, and what's their issue. So far, KPFK here is supporting something else, and we appreciate that. But you think that, like San Francisco, I'm watching KPFK. I haven't seen much to do about it. Taxi workers in San Francisco, and it's a very important issue.
Thank you very much for coming. Richard?
Good afternoon. 2 years ago today, in retrospect to this meeting, there was a report given by Kevin Fink regarding direct inspection rights. And he made it absolutely clear that the rights absolutely there, and that even if you set up a structure, you couldn't stop them. Then we went through a year and a half of stonewalling and fighting, where we got within a day or two of writs being filed, and I know because I was the one who was going to file them, and I got a lot of pressure from a lot of people, and I'm still getting criticized why I didn't do it, but I don't think it's good to sue Pacific unless you have to, and it prevailed without doing that. But the point I want to make today is there's been no summation of that situation, and the people who stonewalled that, many of them are still sitting there, and their allies have never been self-critical about why they were trying to stop those rights. And many of those people that wanted to stop those fundamental basic democratic rights are the same people who are pushing for the committee to investigate people about racism and sexism. And I'm just going to say this. I don't think you have the moral authority to investigate anybody until you deal with your past crimes.
Garcia and Israel Foyer.
Hi, I'm Ashley Picard from WBA Station Board. I want to speak to the issue of who decides what unpaid staff members vote. I see in the bylaws that an unpaid staff member shall be, number two is any member of a foundation radio station, unpaid staff organization, or unpaid staff collective bargaining unit, which has been recognized by station management. So it seems to me that the proposal that management shall decide who is unpaid staff is really management decides who is a member of the unpaid staff bargaining unit, which apart from being rather flagrantly anti-union, anti-worker, the conflict of interest is extremely troubling. The local station board evaluates management. Management is put in the position of deciding who may who may run. Staff is also involved in evaluation of management at the stage of filling out questionnaires, being interviewed. So now we have management deciding who may vote, who may run, who may speak to how management is doing. And I think that it may seem attractive if a management member seems to be sympathetic to oneself and one's friends, but things change. And it is asking, I think, inordinately much. The reason why we have conflict of interest rules is that it is asking too much of a human being to step back and objectively say, okay, I know this person is really opposed to the way I run this place, but by golly, they do work here 10 hours a month, and so I've just got to bite the bullet. So I really would ask people, before you pass a motion that essentially is a revision of the bylaws, that you take into account the kind of damage that can be done by putting management in charge of deciding who gets to vote, who gets to run, who gets to evaluate management.
Padre, I don't understand. Are you saying that's in the policy before us now, or is that a different thing?
It's my understanding of the proposal from the elections committee.
Oh, elections, okay.
Right. So I'm sorry. Yeah. But it's something that may...
Understood. Thank you.
...before you.
Luis?
Thank you. I ask your indulgence that may allow me to make my statement translated into Spanish. Thank you. I owe a lot to Pacifica KPFK individually, and when I say I include the Chicano economic community. The left, the progressives have been our allies in a lot of ways, and we're very appreciative of that. That's the good news. The bad news I'm here to deliver is that I want to charge Pacifica with political fraud, and by that I mean that the mission statement of Pacifica is to include all communities. Chicano Mexicano community is not being included. The leadership of Pacifica, from the directors, the local station board, programmers, staff, are all in league in calling us Latinos. We hear that constantly over the air. I have been constantly trying to bring this message to this board, to a local station here, and I've run up against deaf ears. I'm sick and tired of coming for the last 5 years to bring this message, and here I am once again. I think we're getting to the point where we are going to have to bring a lawsuit. Like the other speaker says, we don't want to do that unless it's absolutely necessary. But let me read this real quickly. The International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights of 1966, Article 27. In those states in which ethnic, religious, or linguistic minorities exist, persons belonging to such minorities shall not be denied the right in community with other members of their group to enjoy their own culture, to profess and practice their own religion, or to use their own language. And dare I say that that includes the programming of Pacifica. And that's the complaint of political fraud that's being perpetuated by the progressive left. I ask you to listen to us. We've been here demanding this, and we need more inclusion. So if you insist on using Latinos, which really the Latinos are the Italians, Italian Americans, you want to talk about Central and South Americans, you can call them that way. Their national identities, their national state origin. But for the Chicano Mexicano community, the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo of 1848 gives us the right of self-determination. We are calling ourselves a Chicano Mexicano community. We're not letting the left or anyone else call us anything that they want to. May I translate that into Spanish?
The entire statement?
I'll try to
Por favor.
Estoy aquí para hacer una queja política de defraude en contra del Chicano Mexicano la comunidad porque insisten esta mesa directiva, la mesa directivo local, todos los estacionamientos, los manejadores, los programadores, sobre el aire, siempre refieren a nuestra comunidad como Chicano Mexicano. En este día que estamos protestando los derechos de los migrantes de este continente, los inmigrantes que vienen de África, de Asia, de Europa, que son los inmigrantes, no todos somos igual en términos políticos del estatus en este país. Tenemos el derecho del Tratado de Guadalupe Hidalgo de 1848, cuando los Estados Unidos robó a México, nos garantizaron los derechos de nuestra comunidad de autodeterminación, de nombrarnos chicano-mexicano comunidad. Y no queremos que nos sigan llamando latinos, que esos son los italianos americanos. Gracias.
Muchísimas gracias. Israel Foyer, Marisa Shandrao.
A lot to deal with, very important. Just a couple thoughts. I want to repeat an emphasis what I said last time. I think the basic approach to Pacifica ought to be dialogue and debate and discourse in the best sense of the word, not diatribe and not dissing or debasing people or ideas. If we have more dialogue and debate as the keynote of our programming, that provides the basis for setting out policies how to implement that, and then on that basis to the kind of personnel and procedures we need to do that. So I would, not that we don't need a coordinator as against a director, but that should be rigorously and carefully defined at the start, because until we have a full programming policy, which again I hope would be along the lines that I'm talking about, that is dialogue and debate, as against merely a lot of voices that accompany. We want to reach more people, we want to fertilize ideas, want to even change people's opinions, and be open to change our own as well, may I say. We need dialogue and debate. We need bilingual is a good idea. But we can't have so many languages, unless you want to have something multiplicity of languages moment by moment. Bilingual is a good way to go, even for music. The other day in KPFK, there was a half hour of Persian programming, English and Farsi. That's a good idea, not just one or the other. And even in music, why shouldn't the words be spoken out in English
for those who speak English, and most of us do, as well as in the original language of the not an American English-speaking song. So, we need to have, therefore, a vision with a broad perspective, and in that context, to set out our programming against ad hocing it or merely implementing particular people's or groups' for personal or political agenda, often under the guise of some procedural matter, which is the wrong way to go. We need to deal with the real issues. And in that line, we need more self-education, all of us. Everything from board training to the history of Pacifica, we need to know this better, to understand better. We need a better perspective ourselves.
Myla, Chandra, and myself.
Hi. You know, when I was listening to Rob Robinson's presentation about the National Program Programming Policy, I must say that it all sounded really appealing to me, and I was in agreement with what was said. But when I look at the document, I think that the document is sort of overreaching in places, and that it's too thick and got too much detail in it. And I would like to see a more general kind of approach, where if the board hasn't studied that document and isn't in agreement with all of the language, that you adopt something more general as opposed to the very specific document that you've got there. I agree that we need a national programming director, I mean coordinator, but someone who, I think that's probably a really good idea, but not a czar. I'd like to say that there's another concern that, and that is this Pacifica on Pacifican Activities Committee that I think is just a huge mistake that you're about to make, and I hope that you've got to not engage in some kind of a witch hunt. And I'm really exhausted. We had a wonderful march today, so
next person is Chandra Hellman, Mansour, and Jane Jackson.
Good afternoon. My name is Chandra Houtman. I'm here to testify on behalf of the Free Speech Radio News Workers Collective. As most of you know, FSRN was created in 2001 by 40 striking Pacifica Network news workers who walked off the job to protest the gag rule and censorship that was imposed upon them by the dissident Pacifica National Board. Today, FSRN has a reporter pool of over 200 freelancers located all around the world and in the United States. We're proud of what we've accomplished. Daily, uncensored news and analysis. Up-to-the-minute coverage from reporters on the ground with the people who make up the stories. Broadcasting of FSRN by almost 100 community radio and internet stations throughout the U.S. and Canada. High-quality, digitalized, decentralized digital production capability that is archived on our website. Training and ongoing technical assistance and the provision of broadcast tools to reporters around the world with no other access to these resources, and an audience of over 1 million appreciative listeners and donors. After almost 5 years, our reporters are still receiving the strike wages that they got when they walked off the job. The staff is receiving no benefits. We cannot continue to work under these conditions. We want to become a part of the Pacifica Network. We want to be able to pay our reporters a living wage and to provide health, vacation, and sick leave benefits to our staff. We want the security of knowing that we can continue to grow and flourish as a part of the Pacifica Foundation. In June of 2005, at the Berkeley PNB meeting, the board passed a resolution directing the national staff to find money in the budget to increase our monthly stipend. To this date, we have yet to receive the money. We know that in fiscal year 06, that at least KPFA and KPFT have almost doubled their budget for free speech radio news, yet we still receive the same monthly stipend that we received last year. FSRN epitomizes what the Pacifica Foundation stands for. We are a living testimonial to the embodiment of the Pacifica mission of peace and social justice. With your help, we can become one. Thanks for listening. We look forward to your support. And I have extra copies of this if anybody who's a general manager, program director, or anybody from the audience didn't receive one. Everybody on the board get this copy? Three endorsement letters. Noam Chomsky, Mumia Abu-Jamal,
Jim Hightower in your packet, a copy of our brochure, a copy of the statement I just read, and the 10 reasons why you should support us. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sure has agreed to pass. Jane Jackson, Paul Ashby, and Jose Santiago are next. Jane, are you here? There you are.
Oh, I'm sorry. And I'll do my best to read this. I wrote my chair book down earlier. Now it's stuck in an upright position. I'm very dizzy. I would like to make the comment as a LSB member of the Archives Committee, even though Teresa passed on it. And I think you need to know that we voted to nominate. Nominations were taken, and Bonnie Simmons was the only person nominated for chair. I wanted to see a way for those members of the Archives Committee who were otherwise involved in Pacifica events to have an opportunity to participate. And so there will be an opportunity for write-ins for chair. For lack of anyone willing to serve as secretary, a rotation agreement was put forth. There were only 8 persons on the call, which was just a quorum. I raised the issue in fairness and not as an attack on anyone. I want to thank Teresa for your quality demonstration of what I have to refer to as triple tasking, in that she chaired, she took the notes. By the time I got back from the bathroom, the minutes were on the, the archive web TV. The other thing I want to mention is that for listeners, the National Board voted unanimously in D.C. to provide the first steps toward compliance with Section 504 of the 1973 Rehabilitation Act, and which calls for an assessment and a transition plan. In plain English, that means identify the barriers to people with disabilities, which could be anyone at any time, figure out how to remove the barriers, the timeline for doing the removal, and fourth, how it will be paid for. They agreed to make that information publicly available no later than April 2007, the 30th anniversary of a law that has been too long ignored. And I just am repeating that on the basis that everybody might not have been listening yesterday that's not in this room that is involved with the stations. So thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Paul Ashby. The last two after that are Long Singh and Serena.
Good afternoon. My name is Paul Ashby. I'm the Pins Director at WBAI New York. I appreciate the opportunity to speak before the Security National Board.
Excuse me, what director? What was that?
Premium, sorry.
A premium.
Yeah, but it's time to be better. It's a lot I want to say, but I just want to share with the board my experience of experiences of assault and abuse, and I'll stop there. So assault and abuse at WBAI. I've been assaulted, choked, kicked, punched, not by the NYPD in the prison cell, but in my place of work, in my office, at my desk, in Pacifica. I've not been assaulted in the street. I've been here for 5 years. I've not been assaulted in the street in East New York, Brooklyn, but I've been assaulted in WBAI, Pacifica already. In addition to being assaulted in my place of work, my job's been made miserable, and I've been abused at least once a week. And if we have time, I can give you reasons for those. Personally, choke for me was initially banned for 3 days. And this happened on a Friday, and he was banned until Monday. And that was extended because I threatened to sue Pacific. And this was some time ago. The reason why it's an issue again is because this same individual, last Tuesday, is back on the premises. I was working early Tuesday morning, attended the bathroom, and he's in there washing up and cleaning himself. I spoke to the security guard, the building security guard, because PA does not have security service. Spoke to the building security guard. He says that he's repeatedly come to the station and he's been repeatedly turned away. But he was exasperated on Tuesday morning because, as he said, that the individual slept over or sleeps over, and that the program director welcomes him in and escorts him in and out. This is the security guard. It's not his, but these are his words to me. I see a good relationship with him. I've reached the board's attention because I'm not confident that this will be addressed to my satisfaction at WBAI. And the reason why I feel that is because the same individual has made menacing statements to the interim general manager on the one hand, and on the other, he is on friendly, cordial terms with the program director. So I'm appealing to your board for satisfactory resolution. I'm not going to have time.
José Santiago, about the same. Serena Robbins.
Thank you. In addition to some of you who don't know, in addition to being the news director at WBAI, I'm also the shop steward for the AFTRA. Green that represents the paid staff members. There are about maybe 30, 35 paid staff members. And of course, we have 100 or more unpaid staff members. So
please speak up. We can't hear.
But I want to say that I want to echo some of the concerns that Paul has, and this is one of many areas of concern that we have, which is what has brought us out here. None of us are the regular people that you see at these meetings, but we just felt that we just couldn't deal with this anymore. And we had to get out here and talk to you. So my statement is as follows. I'm requesting that the Pacifica National Board and Pacifica Executive Director become directly involved in ensuring a safe and non-hostile working environment for the staff of WBAI New York. In particular, we do not want our interim general manager, Harda, to have to face verbal or physical threats or abuse as she goes about the business of managing the radio station. Starting about 2 years ago, a number of paid staff persons at the station began documenting incidents of physical and verbal abuse. We compiled about a dozen cases we felt were actionable. We did not feel at the time that our station manager, our former station manager, but that the majority of the local station board would adequately investigate our concerns nor hold the abusers accountable. So we took our concerns to the New York State Human Rights Commission. After initial discussions with the Human Rights Commission, we opted to complain for a couple of reasons. One, our general manager then was leaving, and we hoped that things would improve under a new GM. And two, we didn't want to saddle the station with exorbitant legal fees on an issue that we felt should be able to be resolved internally. Once Indra Hardit was appointed interim GM, things improved somewhat. But recently, as she has implemented changes in particular reining in formerly unchecked and questionable spending practices, the hostility is returning. Indra Hardit should not have to experience anyone hovering over her, shouting and screaming in a threatening manner. She should not have to be subjected to this in any form from any staff member or any associate of a staff member. This board and the Pacific Executive Director needs to hear directly from WBAI staff members who are being subjected to hostility in the workplace. At times, false accusations of racism and the technical sabotaging of programs. This happens often with my program, the WBAI.
Thank you.
Yvonne Singh and then Serene Roberts.
Hi, my name is Yvonne Singh, the interim business manager of WBAI, and I would like to take this opportunity to present some good news to the PNB, because we have heard so many bad things about BAI. Not everything is negative. In the past 10 months, we were able to turn around 300,000 deficits. We have now reviewed all our expenses and made a number of significant changes, including the savings of thousands of dollars in telephone bills, postage, printing, and office supplies. We are making all of our payments, including payroll or rent, which is very huge, and not forgetting central service, which is current, despite not making three of our last fundraising goals. One big area of improvement is our community events. Previously, a lot of time, money, and energy was spent, and we would only break even. Now we are working with the budget, and there is much more accountability, and we are generating more money at these events. And I might say that many of these events I also attend. Our reduced spendings are on telephones, long distance phone call abuses by staff and others who came to the station, internet dating agencies, Lapalife. Indicia mailing is now used, which has cost us 14 cents per mail. We are also saving on printing and computer cartridges. Consultants has been reduced. Unauthorized overtime has been reduced drastically. Frankly, we are spending money that we did not have. Now we are sticking to our budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Suri.
Is it 2 minutes?
Yes.
I'm going to begin. With regard to the situation with Paul, I heard, it might have been more than a year ago. Can you hear me? Okay. So much for my tippy. About a year or so ago, there was a volunteer who came in during the fundraising drive to transfer phones, and we had some difficulty with him in the tally room. And apparently at some point he also confronted Paul, and he was told he had to leave the premises. I don't believe the management was on hand that weekend. And he was told that he needed to come back and speak with management. So that might be the, quote, three-day banning that's being referred to. And I'm using my time to address this not because I didn't have other things I wanted to say, but because I think the information was delivered in a way that certainly alarms people. I don't know if that was the intent, but I felt a sense of alarm, although I was familiar with that particular circumstance. And I was not aware that the person was back at the station. But whether or not the person is back at the station and how that needs to be addressed, I don't see that being put onto the program director because the person apparently has a, quote, friendly relationship when they speak to the program director. I think we're adults and we can probably handle things a little better than that. Guilt by association, you know. With regard to the non-hostile workplace and the dozen cases that have been documented, the aftershock shop unit is much smaller. I think about 30-something people in it. And the unpaid staff is considerably larger. We have monthly meetings. AFTRA has far fewer meetings. There is only one shop steward in AFTRA. They've not had elections, I think, for shop steward in 3 years. Their meetings, as I understand it, seem to focus more around contract negotiations, and there's a contract on the floor now. But there have been ample opportunities for people to bring these issues either to members of the board or on staff individually. We actually talk, many of us, although we don't like each other's political positions within the Pacifica milieu. Many of us, I think, have good personal relationships, so I'm very surprised to hear that they've been documented and filed and no one's been approached, including members of the LSB who are members of AFTRA. And certainly USOC, which is the unpaid staff organization, is continuously asking for joint meetings because the fact that some people are paid and some people are not doesn't change the more important fact that we have, in fact, a joint interest because we share a workplace. And we share the work, in fact. So I'm concerned about that particular situation. I'm further concerned about the fact that disagreement with our interim general manager who I've had a surprisingly close relationship with for a number of years at BAI, closer than many of the people who now call themselves her best friend. One situation that I thought was a little threatening was when some members of the board showed up and literally hemmed her in within a few feet from her door. Now, their manner towards her may have changed over the past several months, but I consider that to be rather threatening, and I didn't see that that was mentioned in the list of things that where attacks are being, where disagreements are being described as attacks. So, you know, I caution you to be aware of the use of very inflammatory language, which doesn't mean there isn't a problem or there aren't problems that need to be addressed. I'm out of time. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, so that concludes this section of public comment. What we're doing now is dealing with the motion on national programming policy, and my understanding is that the entire document is not actually before us, but what's before us, what the programming committee has forwarded, is the policy section. So there are several documents that got sent out. One was the programming policy, which includes a policy section and an implementation section. There were also two other documents. One was an implementation task document, and another was a calendar. The tasks and the calendar are not before us. Within just the programming policy document, my understanding is that the programming committee is putting before the board for passage now the policy section. Is that correct?
Yes.
And it runs from which page of the document that we have in our packet?
The policy per se that we ask the board to consider passing is included on pages 5 through 9.
And to remind, this came before the board in Houston in the fall, at the fall meeting, September 28th, I think it was. We passed it, we agreed to pass it in spirit and then await final passage till January. That got delayed to allow further input, so now we're doing that. Now, what I would like to do is treat the sections of the document like a consent calendar. So if there are people who are going to deal with particular items that they'd like to propose amendments to, what I'd like is for them to pull those items, those sections from the consent calendar, then we'll act on everything. Is everybody familiar with the consent calendar mechanism? Basically what we're doing is we're saying we're going to consider the whole thing as a block and vote it as a block. But if there are particular items where people want to amend the language, they can ask that that section be considered separately. Then once we've pulled the items from the consent calendar, we will vote the block of things on the consent calendar and then deal seriously with the things that have been pulled off it. Okay? So does anybody want to pull any items from the consent calendar? Sandy?
Section 12, please.
Section 12. Now, remember, this is just the policy section, right? So section 12 from the consent calendar.
Page 9.
Okay. Bob?
Pass for a second.
Okay. Anything else? Teresa?
Section 8.
Section 8. Anything else? I'll leave a couple minutes for people to glance at their favorite edit section.
Point of information?
Yep.
From what Rob said earlier, what's clear to me, if when we after we vote today on this, is that it as far as this text? In other words, I thought I heard Rob make some reference to some further revisions based on feedback that we've gotten. So I'm not sure what are we actually going to be voting on? Every word on these pages?
Yes, my understanding is we are voting to approve this, but what Rob is saying is that this is not the end of the process. The committee may come back with additions or substitutions to the language, which would then be motions that we consider at a later time. But upon passage of this would be enforced as our policy.
So can I further click a clarification? If there's some of these points that some staff at BAI have suggested wording changes that are not fundamental, they're sort of secondary.
It would be much better to pass it and then bring that stuff back as linguistic adjustments.
Okay. Well, they're not linguistic, but they're not, you know, fundamentally at odds with the purpose. So,
a parliamentary inquiry. Isn't it the case that if somebody brings something back at a later time, that it's required to rescind or to amend something previously adopted requires a 2/3 vote rather than a majority vote?
Let me check on that.
That is correct under Robert's rules. If we're adopting every word of this, and then later we want to change words of this, and that is a motion to amend something previously adopted, which has a whole different set of requirements for the amount of votes to pass.
We're not amending the bylaws. We're simply changing the language in a policy.
Right. Now that those apply to policies.
Applies to everything.
Okay, no, it's with notice, it's a majority vote, not two-thirds. Amend something previously adopted, it must be seconded, it is debatable, it is amendable, it receives a majority with notice, or two-thirds without prior notice. So as long as they notice it, it's still just a majority vote. Thank you for the inquiry.
Chairman, I'm sorry, I'm just a little confused. See if I can find the item. Okay, 4.4.
On what page?
On page 7.
You'd like to go 4 from the consent calendar.
No, I'm not sure I do. My confusion is this. 4 is an issue I'm very interested in and have concerns about. But 4 in this text simply presents a problem in my judgment. So if I pull that, would then we be looking at refining the wording to deal with the problem? Because if you look
Okay, so if you pull it, we would just discuss it and pass it separately. It might be amended or it might not be. It doesn't require any amendment. It just says we'll deal with that as a separate item.
Okay, but as it now exists, it presents a possible problem for our network and our stations. Presents absolutely no wording on resolution.
I recommend you remove it from the calendar.
Let me pull 4.
Okay. Any other removals? People who haven't spoken yet. Lydia, then Levar, and then I'm back to Sandy.
I just want to clarify so we're all on the same page. We are passing Principles of Pacifica Programming Policy 1.0 through 12.0 Implementing National Programming.
Not implementing, pages 5 through 9, items 1.0 through 12.0 on pages 5 through 9. The implementation step that starts on page 10 is not before us.
Mr. Chair.
Hang on a second. Is that clear, Lydia?
Right. I was just saying that at the bottom of that, which is 12.0, it says implementing national program. So right. That's been pulled?
No, implementing national program comes after 12.0, and that's the end. 12.0.
Okay, I'm just looking at the table on page 2. Okay.
Right. So everything after that is pulled.
Okay.
Is not before us. Did you have a point of information?
Yes, I do. I'm not interested in pulling section. I'm interested in adding section.
That would require amendments, so we wouldn't deal with it as a block. So pulling it doesn't mean we're not going to deal with it. It just means we're going to deal with it in detail. The idea is everything that's left after this will pass as a block, and then we'll go down the line of each of these amendments as people would like.
So probably take my concern out of this.
If you want to amend Section 8 in any way, then it's pulled already, so it's fine. Levar? 6. Okay. I'm just asking, if we deal with these, I just hope we can deal with each of the 6 different standing.
Yes. Section 6 and Section 11.
So much for consent. Bob?
2, 3, 4, 8, and
10. Okay, so
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir. We already have. We're dealing with the consent calendar right now, and what is left on it after this.
Is
okay. Well, let me just tell people where we're at. We have 1, 5, 7, and 10 remaining on the consent calendar. December.
I move the adoption of 12.0 and 8.0 to be implemented through the action of the ED and CFO, and that specifics developed be brought back to the PMD for implementation.
Okay, I'd like to do is deal with what's left on the consent calendar first, and then that'll be the first thing we come to, because 12 and 8 have both been pulled. They were the first thing pulled. and then that motion would be.
I'm reporting this in the all the rest of the rest of it. If it has to happen, is the person has to be hired. They have to all the guidelines for the hiring of that person. And then there has to be an evaluation of programming. That includes everything in this section. That then has to be vetted by the executive director and CFO of the person hired. And then when you get specifics, you can have.
Okay, but the point remains that we can still, we'll deal with that on 12 and 8 as soon as we adopt 1, 5, 7, and 10. Exactly. And then the order in which we do it. Am I not understanding something that's, if you want to make clear? I don't want to know why. Okay. Yeah. I want to get 5, 7, and 10. Okay. So 5, 7, and 10 remain on the consent. I heard you. Excuse me. 1.1, 1.5, 5, 7, and 10. All remain on the calendar. May we act on that? Okay, I'm going to call it to a vote. So remaining on the consent calendar are the following sections. 5, 7, and 10. Apparently people believe that it's not controversial to comply with the law. Okay, so that's what we're voting on. So all those in favor of adopting the remnants of the consent calendar, please raise your hand.
You've got a lot of people out in the hallway.
If they're not here, they can't vote. We are passing. This is in favor. If you're in favor of the consent calendar, all those opposed. Okay, we've passed that. Now, going back to the items that were removed from the consent calendar. Ambrose has a motion concerning items 12 and 8. Go ahead, Ambrose. Sorry if I misunderstood something obvious.
My motion had to do with this entire package that you didn't understand. Let me lay it out very clear. I move the adoption of 12.0 and 8.0 to be implemented through the actions of the ED and CFO, and that specifics be developed for the entire national programming policy, and those specifics be brought back to the TMD for approval and implementation. That's what I was trying to say.
So the effect of your motion would...
It would place it in the hands of the ED to develop and hire the person and be looked at by the CFO. And the three of them then would develop the specific, the detailed information we need to act on. We can't act on this. This is not specific. We want a national program that is specifically developed, brought back after they've done it for our review and approval and implementation.
But I'm sorry, I'm just trying to understand. So we have item 12 and 8, which your motion explicitly references. Then we have these remaining items. And what your motion does, in effect, is refer those items to the executives.
to the executives, to the,
so it's a referral rather
than CFO and the hired program director.
Okay, so the motion, then Ambrose's motion is to, can you pass 12 and 8 and to refer 4, 6, 2, 3, 4, 4, 6, 11, and then 1.2, 1.3, 1.4 to the executives for further development. Is that correct? Okay.
Yeah, we can brought back to
whose adoption actions. 12.0 and 8.0 to be implemented through the action of the ED and CFO, and that specifics be developed for the entire national programming policy and brought back to the PNB for approval and implementation.
Okay. Is there a second to that? Mm-hmm. Second from Deb. Debate on that? Rob?
Yeah, I'd just like to remind everybody here, the function of this body, the Pacific National Board, is to set policy. That's fundamentally what we do. What the programming committee did was bring forward a policy document. I understand that there are many people in the network that do not want the board to enact programming policy, but that's what this is. If you don't want the board to pass policy, then you probably should be someplace else working in the organization to try to say you may not pass a policy. You have to give the document to management to implement, basically flies in the face of what we're here to do. I understand that people have questions, but this document has been before not just this body, it's been before the LSBs and management for 5 months now. I don't think I've received many written comments or requests for clarification from anybody here, from anyone on the board at this point. So I understand that you have trouble with things, but the time to have dealt with these issues was to raise specific questions that the committee could have responded to. But to simply say we're going to turn over a document in part to management to implement is not to enact policy.
Greg, this refers to you. Did you want to comment on the referral?
I'd like you to adopt the policy or part of it. I'm not interested in the referral.
Mary?
Yes, I am not saying that I am not one of the people who is against our making the policy. I have problems with the language and that they are so far reaching that I'm not supporting the idea that they should go to the CEO or CFO and the ED and have them be brought back. And I realize it's been 5 months, but also you say the boards, our board has never dealt with it, not once. We have never gotten to it. We have so many unfinished things on our plates. I think we need more time to do it. So if we didn't get it done in 5 months, okay. I think we need. It's either that or we can't pass it at all. And it seems that there's a number of people who do have questions with a lot of the language. It's a huge document to go and revise. I will certainly try to work on it and make my suggestions, and I hope other people do. But I would simply actually make a substitute motion that we postpone the implementation of this at this meeting and come back with, we have to bring suggestions to the programming committee. And if people will commit to do that, and it will take a lot of time, then I think we could move forward. So that is my motion, that we postpone this until the next public meeting so that we can work on this.
So when you say public meeting, hold on a second.
Right. I don't mean the next telephone meeting.
It's an in-person meeting. Ray, point of information. Wait, first of all, is there a second? Second from Zarina. Ray?
And what is the implementation of the meeting in this case? It's a bigger speaker. Consideration, you mean talking about voting on it. Which implementation? Do you mean voting?
I mean, we postpone voting on this today until the next in-person meeting so that the revisions can be made that people have expressed.
Okay, I'm going to take two in favor and two opposed. Who's speaking in favor? I'll take Serena because she hasn't spoken yet at this meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to say that having looked over the document, I think, yes, it is very long. And I would agree with what Mary has just said, that our local station board has been so enthralled, thanks to the BNB also, with our election process, that we've not been able to address anything else, let alone look at the program, this particular document, and many of the other things that are really more important to our local station board. But because this is a national piece and it's also local, I think that if given at least another month, if not more, an opportunity for our boards, maybe we need to, from the PNB, mandate that the local station board somehow focus on this as and not telling them they can't look at anything else or deal with other issues germane to their own local station board, but that this is really important. And if we're talking about trying to make some changes or improvements or to make this a better network, and this is part of what our network work is about, I think we need to look at it and focus clearly on it and do it with some time.
Okay. Who is speaking opposed? Don?
I am speaking against this. I'm very sympathetic to this committee. Again, I will say that I think we need to honor a lot of the work that's done in committee. Come before us after a lot of work. I know in my signal area there has been a lot of looking at this proposal and hashing it out and rewording. I actually think, so I'm going to oppose referring it and try to get it passed. 12. I'm talking now only about 12. And I think there's a component of this that we're missing. Other people are involved in this. I've talked to our general manager, Eva Georgia, and I would indulge the board just to have us understand more clearly how this process can work by having our general manager say a word or two about how this network programming coordinator could work if we pass it, get it moving.
I'm sorry, we're going to take comment on the referral first. We can have debate on it later.
All right.
Who is speaking in favor of the referral?
Are we speaking to
an amendment? You want to refer essentially all items? No, we're speaking to whether or not, we're speaking to postponing the rest of this discussion and any votes until our next in-person meeting, which was your motion. Who is speaking in favor? Anybody else?
Are we speaking on Mary's motion that was seconded?
Yes, this is the motion to postpone to the next in-person meeting. Who is speaking in favor of the motion to postpone? Go ahead.
I think that the reasons are fairly obvious. This document is fairly complex, and if you look at it, all the different facets of it, they are not disjointed. They are coherent in a way that we have to understand what it really means. And at such short notice, people just didn't get a chance to read it in detail and come to a sensible kind of conclusion. And I think that ramification of this document, if passed today, and then later on come back and piecemeal try to revise them, and then to come back with parliamentary kind of procedures to delay, and that kind of will be here for years. So I think that I'd rather do the job well and do it once and not come back and revisit time and time again. For that reason, I'll say if we spend 30 days or whatever, then it's worth for doing that.
But actually, Ray had asked to speak in opposed first before anybody else. Okay, so who else would like to speak in opposed? Yes. Well, since Lydia has not spoken yet in the meeting, I'd like to recognize her opposed. But first, a point of information.
Mary, is it your intent that if we adopt your motion and postpone this till the June meeting, that nothing could move forward in hiring a network programming coordinator until after that meeting?
Well, we did pass this thing in 2004.
Please answer yes or no.
If there's a way to do it.
There is no way to do it. The motion is very clear. We have to pass a policy before that can go forward. Is it your intent to delay?
Could we rescind that? My intent is not to delay hiring the coordinator, no. If we could possibly consider rescinding the motion passed in 2004, that would then therefore...
May I point out that would create a time that we would have to spend on debate and materially brings back before us the questions you're asking to postpone. And you see that if you postpone it, the discussion, that's the effect of it.
Well, I don't mean that. You see, it sounds like we're holding hostage the hiring of the coordinator, or we pass a motion that is not in shape to be passed, and it will require endless tinkering, and will take us far longer to get a coherent policy together than if we postpone the policy till June.
May I make a suggestion? One of the ways to handle this is a division of Ambrose's motion so that 12 and 8, which it says will be passed, and then permit the processing of the programming coordinator position could be dealt with. And then if people want to deal with other issues in the other portions that Ambrose's motion essentially refers, we can deal with that. The time we're spending on postponement is time to other things.
Point of information?
Yes. Point of information, and then I'll go to Lydia.
Could you repeat what you said earlier about where the status of this document right now? My understanding of what you said before was that it had been agreed to in spirit or something along
those lines. The board in Houston at the September meeting agreed, passed it, quote, in principle, and requested that the committee come back to the board and that we would process it at the January meeting. For lack of time, and because people said they wanted more time to consider it, it was delayed until this meeting. The document's been in force for 6 months.
My question then is, based on that, has this thing, in the opinion of the chair, been passed already to such a degree that it would permit the proceeding of the hiring of a program coordinator?
My own view, if you're asking me how I would rule, I would say that it is not. I think we have to actually pass it. Passing something in spirit is not. Does not fill them. Lydia, this is the final on the postponement, and then we're going to vote on postponement.
Okay. In January, we stressed that everyone, including the LSBs, get serious about this programming policy. It was postponed again. I read it on my way, again, I read it for like the third time, on my flight to D.C. So this is not an overwhelming document, not that it doesn't have some complexities. I think the mechanism of passing a policy, knowing that if there is something wrong that we want to fix in our many, many monthly meetings that we have on the phone and in person, that with a simple majority, if it is noticed, it can be tweaked and passed. But this board, I mean, look at this green book and look at all of the stuff that's been passed that has not been implemented, all of the stuff that we talk about passing that never gets passed. We simply don't have the time. You cannot stop all the work at the LSB because then you're out of compliance with the bylaws to keep on schedule with all of the tasks assigned to it, not to mention the needs at the local station board. If you have not already looked at this, get really busy doing it, give notice, and make any changes that you have to. But I urge this board to pass the policy. We've already separated the implementation. Listen carefully to what is being proposed. Think carefully about the mechanisms that are in place for us to amend these things in a timely and efficient manner without holding things up again.
I'd like to offer a substitute motion.
Actually, no. First, we're going to vote on the postponement. I'm sorry. All those in favor of postponing until our in-person meeting, there are remaining questions before us. Please raise your hand. Please raise your hand.
Mr. Chair, I would like to raise a point of order. His motion, if we would hear Sandy Wyman's motion, it might solve this dilemma, and we don't have
I don't think there's a dilemma. Well, I think the board is ready to act, and I want
okay,
to
Okay, I think there is something we might all act on, and I would
Thank
really
you.
Urge
you know,
the chair to hear his yeah. amendment before we vote
his
on it.
His amendment will be in order after we take right. this vote.
I
all those in favor, please raise your hand. We're not wasting any more time on this. I'm sorry. All those in favor of postponing till the next important in-person meeting, raise your hand. All those opposed? The motion fails.
Can I speak to the motion?
No, there's a substitute motion. Go ahead.
I'd like to offer a motion that I think will help us move forward, and that is, number one, I'd like to divide questions 6, 8, and 12.